right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
I love the smell of napalm in the morning.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
I'm also just a girl standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her.
Goonies never say die!
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
Well, that sound means it's time to go behind the scenes of another classic movie. And today we're looking at Empire of the Sun. It's a 1987 American epic coming-of-age war film directed by Steven Spielberg. And in this clip, Jamie, or Jim Graham, played by a very young Christian Bale, discusses the nutritional benefits of weevils.
Dr. Rawlins says some of us will die 2 days before we're safe, perhaps 2 hours, so use everything.
You'll miss this camp when the war's over.
Will I? I'll have to locate my parents when all the people in all the camps come out again. I'll tell my father how you looked after me.
I think I'll get the reward.
What reward?
You told everyone.
Well, I was much younger then. Mrs. Victor, why did the Japanese close the school?
Because they wanted to punish the grown-ups. I wonder how you'll take to school in England when the war's over.
It might be a bit strange. All the same, Mrs. Victor, the best teacher is the University of Life.
Oh, by heaven.
Could we finish our meal, please? We've heard your views on the University of Life.
But we should eat all the weevils, Mrs. Victor.
Oh, yes, I know, Jim. Dr. Rawlins told you.
He said we need the protein.
Yes, well, Dr. Rawlins is right. We should all eat the weevils.
Mrs. Victor, do you believe in vitamins?
Strange child.
What an extraordinary exchange. The University of Life is advocated by a young child. Well, to give us the background to the film, I'm joined by Bill Hughes, television producer with Mind the Gap Films. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Tell us about the genesis of this film.
This film came from J.G. Ballard's book, and it was a novel, but it was quite autobiographical, because J.G. Ballard, as a child, had been in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in China. And he never really recovered. And as he said himself, I waited 40 years before giving it a go. And then one of the longest periods a professional writer has put off describing the most formative events of his life. 20 years to forget and then 20 years to remember. I love that. And there was always the possibility that my memories of the war concealed a deeper stratum of unease that I preferred not to face. And that's what we see in this film. And Christian Bale encapsulates it brilliantly. He's only 12 when he's cast. He's 13 when the movie comes out. And it's the world seen through the eyes of a young boy who is extremely curious. He's been brought up in an incredibly privileged background. He was brought up by Chinese servants in the house. His father was loaded. And the Chinese servants, they never spoke to him. They never looked at him. And so suddenly there's a war. Suddenly he's thrown into a concentration camp. And he's trying to make sense of it all. So he tries to pull it together with his fantasy life as a child, which is very strong. And he becomes really irritating to most of the adults. Just heard him there have an exchange with Miranda Richardson. And she's at the end of her tether with him because he's just, why, which is typical 13-year-old. He's just asking all the questions. But he's surrounded by the complete horrors of war, the filth, the starvation, the violence. And he has seen things that no child should see. And Spielberg was so drawn to this. Because when Warner Brothers bought the rights to the film, they were getting Harold Becker to direct it and Robert Shapiro to produce. Tom Stoppard, the great playwright, wrote the first draft of the screenplay. Becker dropped out. David Lean came in, the great David Lean. And then he decided, no, it's too much like a diary, after working for a year on it. And he gave it to Spielberg. And Spielberg was thrilled because The Bridge on the River Kwai, one of David Lean's finest films, was his favorite film as a kid. And suddenly it was giving him a chance to explore the war because his dad had been a radio operator in the war. And he always had heard stories at home. So there's a whole personal stuff. And the thing about this film for Spielberg is it's very special to him because it is so personal. And it's so personal about the coming of age. But it was the coming of his own age as well, although he didn't go through war. But it was that kind of over-curiosity and wanting to know absolutely everything.
Now, it's a period piece. So where did they manage to shoot it? I mean, back in the day, the Chinese weren't necessarily as welcoming as you might want in terms of foreign crews coming in to shoot movies.
Well, that's true, because they searched Asia in an attempt to find the locations. And they went to the Shanghai Film Studios and China Film Co-Production Corporation. And after a year of negotiations, permission was granted. But it was the first American film to be shot in Shanghai since the 1940s. And they offered them 5,000 local extras were used for all these big crowd scenes. And Japanese, for the Japanese occupation of Shanghai. And members of the People's Liberation Army played Japanese soldiers of the Chinese Liberation Army. So it was weird. And then trying to find all the old planes and trying to find people who could fly them. Like Spielberg was no slouch at finding the right people. And he brought Ray Hanna on board as one of the pilots. And Ray Hanna was one of the founders of the Red Arrows. And that you see him clearly in a scene where he's flying at a low level past Christian Bale with the canopy back of his plane and he's waving. And it's one of the most unforgettable scenes. It's just so beautiful. Mm. But the film is beautiful. Like, the horror of war is there, but the beauty that Spielberg sees in it, it's almost operatic. It's just phenomenal.
Now let's hear another clip. What's happening here?
Christian Bale has stopped annoying Miranda Richardson and has decided to annoy the Americans. And he's gotten into the Americans' barracks, and the Americans' the spokesperson in the barracks, the boss, the honcho, is John Malkovich. And they have great ding-dongs, but John Malkovich is always scheming. He's got magazines on the black market, and they're going to attempt to catch a pheasant. And Bale is just fascinated.
It's all right, Jim. You're almost one of us. Did you see that Mustang yesterday?
Cadillac of the sky, basically.
That's right. Be plenty soon. B-29s, too.
B-29s?
Yep. The Super Fortress, what we call a hemisphere defense weapon.
Where from?
Okinawa, Philippines. Tokyo is in bombing range now.
Tokyo?
Your time to think of going home soon.
We'll have to leave the camp.
That's the idea, Jim. First one side feeds you and the other side tries to get you killed and then it's turned around. It's all timing.
Will you tell me when it's time?
Sure.
Promise?
Promise.
It's simpler if I was living here.
You've got the British men's dorm to go to when Mr. and Mrs. get sick of you.
They are sick of me, Basie, but the British dormitory is so lethargic. Won't you let me?
This will sure be the place to be come Thanksgiving. I'm having pheasant.
Pheasant?
Yeah, just made the traps. Works like a noose. See, stick out your arm. Here, here. See? Neat.
I haven't seen any pheasants around here. Have you seen pheasants?
One or two outside the wire.
Which wire?
Our wire.
That close?
Yep, just at the edge of the airfield, right across the little canal. It's an American initiative, and the man who delivers gets the gravy.
John Malkovich, unmistakable even so many years ago, because this is from 1987. How did it do financially? Because it was an expensive one to make, I suspect. And how did it do with the critics and the awards?
Well, it cost the guts of $40 million, and it took $66 million. So it made its money back, but this is still considered a box office flop for Spielberg. And Spielberg was gutted because it was one of his favorite films that he ever made. But it won, like the critics said, this is one of Steven Spielberg's most ambitious efforts of the 1980s. Empire of the Sun remains an underrated gem in the director's distinguished filmography. And it won the National Board of Review of Motion Pictures in the States. It won Best Film, Best Director. Bale received a special citation for Best Performance by a Juvenile Actor. And the film got 6 Oscar nominations, but lost all of them because it was the year of the Last Emperor. And it was another film set mid-20th century China with a child as the main character. But that's where the similarities ended. And this film is all about the Japanese Empire, whereas the other film is all about the Chinese Empire. But that was the year that was.
Well, fascinating film. I haven't seen it, so I'm going to make a point of finding it to watch it, Bill. I don't know whether you've seen that story about movie quotes that people get wrong. Have you seen that one today?
Yeah, they roll this out every few years, and it's quite a funny one because there are so many people who misquote. People say things all the time that aren't what the real, like mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? That's actually wrong. That's the misquote, because the real quote from Snow White is magic mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all. And, you know, from Apollo 13, Houston, we have a problem. That's not the quote. It's Houston, we've had a problem. And do you feel lucky, punk, from Dirty Harry with Clint Eastwood? That's wrong. It's you've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk? You know, it's completely turns it around the other way.
Yeah. There's another one from All About Eve, an old movie. You know, you often hear, fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy ride.
Yeah, and it's actually the correct one is fasten your seatbelts, it's going to be a bumpy night. not the same at all. And life is like, you know, the mama always said life is like a box of chocolates. Well, mama always said life was like a box of chocolates. So there's it's just people getting pedantic about it. But at the same time, it's a
minor entertainment. Bill, yeah. Thank you very much for joining us. Bill Hughes, television producer with Mind the Gap Films.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.